Psalms 107 is where we'll take our scripture text for this morning. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for the privilege it is to come into your house, to be named amongst them that are sanctified, called by your name, and set apart for your purpose and your glory. We thank you, God, that you have given us spiritual ears to hear and a heart to receive the word that you're going to speak to us today. God, I pray for strength and clarity and healing that I am able to do what you have assigned me to do in this place on today. Prepare us now to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Psalms 107 is a very familiar passage of scripture. It's familiar and unfamiliar at the same time. It's familiar because of verse number 2. Psalms 107 verse number 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." So this scripture is very popular, and you'll hear it every once in a while. When I was growing up, you know, we don't do this much anymore, but we used to have testimony service. And one of the ways they would get us excited about testifying is somebody would stand up and say, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed out of the hands of the enemy." Then they would look around and say, "Have you been redeemed? If you have, you ought to say so. You ought to say something." So this verse calls us, anybody who has been delivered by the hand of God, if God has ever brought you out of trouble or healed your body or delivered you or strengthened you in any kind of way, this verse all tells us that you ought to say something. If the enemy had you in his grips and nothing could help, nothing would deliver you, and you know the only reason you got out of it is because God did it, this scripture said you ought to say so. I wonder if there's anybody in the room this morning after what you went through last week saying the only reason I'm here today is because the Lord redeemed me from the hand of my enemy. And if that's you, you ought to say something. You ought to say so. It encourages us to testify, to tell of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It is said that bad news travels fast. We seem to be more eager to tell the bad things that are happening than the good things that are happening. If you spend any time on Facebook, you will notice that videos that have violence or some type of scandal, or with something bad that has happened in the world, those videos get more likes and shares and more comments, and it goes viral and it's spread around, all the bad news. But if we record something that is good, that is positive and encouraging, you have to ask somebody, "Please share this video." If it's a negative thing, you don't have to ask nobody to share it, because that's what we do. We share all of the negative videos. Can I be honest with you? There are some people that I like in real life, but I have to unfriend them on Facebook because everything they post on Facebook is negative. And listen, I want to be encouraged. It needs to be a pleasant experience for me. And I'm concerned about people who are eager to spread the good news, but they won't tell the bad news, but they won't tell the good news. I'm concerned about folks where they hear that somebody is not being faithful to their spouse, or they hear that somebody's child is in trouble, or they hear that somebody is getting fired from their job because they're not doing the right thing. I'm concerned that we're eager to share that, but we'll go home after seeing God heal people at the altar and we won't say nothing. We won't tell anybody. "How was your week?" "Oh, it was fine," unless something bad happened on Saturday, then we're eager to say something. But this verse says, if you have been redeemed out of the hand of the enemy, you have a responsibility to say so. You ought to say that he delivered me. And can I tell you, because there's somebody, don't be fooled by how we look right now, but there is somebody sitting right next to you that could be going through the same thing that God just delivered you out of, and all they need is somebody to say, I was sick and he healed me. I was in trouble and he brought me out. I was back, my back was up against the wall, but he delivered me. And we can, the Bible says, we overcome him, meaning the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. That's why the adversary, listen, y'all, I don't feel too good in my body. I didn't come to do all this preaching today, but I want you to know that God has been good to me, and I overcome the adversary by testifying. I've been sick and he healed me. The doctors gave up and walked away, and he stepped in at the right time. And the same God, can I testify, the same God that delivered me before is in the room right now, and I expect to be healed before I leave here today. I expect it. I came here because I expect a healing from the Lord. So he says, you ought to say so. Verse 2 says, say so. So that's why this text is so familiar. But this text is also unfamiliar, because a lot of times we stop at verse 2. But if we continue to verse 3 on down to 30, there's a couple of things that we discover. And I just want to share some of the things that we discover about this text, and then I'll be out of your way. The first thing that we discover is that the enemy that we have been redeemed from is being used by God to cause us to repent. Oh, that's why we skipped that part, huh? Because we like to say that the devil did it. Hallelujah. And the devil is the reason why I'm going through. But no, this text, if you read it through, it reminds us that there are real consequences when we rebel against God. Oh, it's so quiet in here. This verse reminds us that when you have relationship with God and you walk away from God, he loves you too much to allow you not to feel the consequences of walking away from him. What kind of God would allow us to walk away from him, knowing that we need him for our daily survival, knowing that we can't do anything without him, knowing that there is an adversary out there waiting to destroy us? What kind of God would allow us to go that far away from him and not do anything to get our attention, to not do anything? Listen, when your child is running across the street and you see a car coming, you scream, you holler, you run, you do whatever you have to do to keep your child from getting injured. So I want you to know that if we read through the text, we will find that the children of Israel were experiencing consequences because they had walked away from God, that God allowed the adversary to come in and cause trouble and destruction in their life. Don't believe me. Look at verses 4 through 5. It says, some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Verse 10 says, some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, imprisoned in iron chains of misery. Verse 17 through 18 says, some were fools. They rebelled and suffered for their sins. They could not stand the thought of food, and they were knocking on death's door. Verse 25 and 26 says, he spoke, and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed up to heaven and plunged again to the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. And we see on and on how the children of Israel found themselves in desperate situations, and they were in these desperate situations because they had walked away from God. So point number one, sometimes God allows things to happen to us to get our attention, because he knows that as long as we are comfortable, as long as things are going good, we will stay right where we are. But sometimes we don't turn to God until things get rough. Sometimes we don't turn to God until things are difficult. Can I just talk about me? When I am comfortable, I am less likely to ask God for direction. Why? Because I figure, because things are going so good, I must be in the will of the Lord. But when God is trying to move me from one place to another, can I talk about me? From one place to another, I have discovered that he has to make me uncomfortable where I am. So the place where I say, God, is this where you want me to be? Because I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. I don't like discomfort. I don't enjoy going through nothing. I want to go through with ease. And so if I am in trouble, that makes me turn my face to God and say, God, have I done something to offend you? Have I missed my call? Have I missed your direction? And the good news in this text is that we see that when they got in these situations, starting with verse number 6, the Bible says that they cried out to the Lord in their time of trouble, and he heard them. Here's the good news. The good news is that when you cry out to God, he always hears us. Yeah. Let me say this too. Rebellion takes time. It happens here a little and there a little. You used to pray 7 days a week. Now you're down to 5. You used to abstain from certain activities, and now you just do a little bit because you are mature now and you have convinced yourself that you can handle it. And then before you realize, the thing that you were messing with starts messing with you. Huh? There used to be a time where you could quote the scripture because you spent so much time in the word, but now you have to paraphrase because you can't quite remember exactly what the scripture says. You used to come to church every time the doors were open, but now if you feel a little pain in your body, or you work too late on Saturday night, or you got too much, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but you got too much to do on Saturday on Monday morning, so you figure you got to miss a whole hour and a half out of a 24-hour period. And I want you to know, and I'm sorry if you are offended, but here a little and there a little, the adversary's plan is to eat away at your faith. He wants to eat away at the word of God that's being placed in your life. Listen, Israel didn't wake up one day totally separated from God. It was a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow and a little bit the day after that. And then we got 3 years they haven't worshiped God. They're in bondage. They're in captivity. But the Bible says when they cried out unto the Lord, he answered them. Here is the good news, and I'll move on. The good news is that when we're in trouble, it doesn't matter if we did it to ourselves or it was done unto us. Pause for a minute. I want you to get this point. It doesn't matter whether the mess that you are in is caused by the poor decisions that you have made, or is one of those things that just happens in life. It doesn't matter. When you call on the name of the Lord, he answers. Can I tell you? Rebellion takes time, but restoration happens immediately. The moment, oh, that's good news for somebody. The moment you turn your heart back to God. It doesn't matter how long you've been away, how far you have gone, or how much you have done. God is not like man. God does not put us on a probationary period where you got 90 days to figure out, let me just see if you're going to be what you say you're going to be. No, that's not like the God that I serve. The moment we repent, the moment we return to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and restore us. Some of us are laying, and I feel your spirit now. You're laying and you're crying out to God, saying, God, when are you going to restore me? Can I tell you, he restores you at the moment you believe that you are restored. Oh, I can't help you. The moment you receive your restoration, you are restored. Listen, the Bible, read through the text. The Bible says they cried and God heard them. Hallelujah. They responded. This text tells us two things. One, the enemy that we've been redeemed from was being used by God to bring us to repentance. But know this too. We also see that even when God uses an adversary to bring us to repentance, when we have been restored, he goes and he deals with the adversary that dealt with us. Oh, I gotta help. Don't get mad at your adversary, because your adversary was used by God to turn you to a place of repentance. Also, don't feel like you need to execute judgment on your adversary, because if you read the Bible, God always deals with those who mishandle his people. Let me say this. So tear up your plans. Look at them smiles on your face. I know y'all got plans. Some of y'all had determined you're going into work tomorrow. You're going to set some things straight. No, you're not. Because if you fight for you, God won't. Oh, okay. Let me move on to my third point. Third point here. First, the adversary was used by God to redeem us, to bring us to a point of repentance. Second point here is that the moment you call on God, he restores. My last point here. When I was preparing for this message today, my attention was drawn to verse number 20, which is another reason why this text is so popular. And quite honestly, my plan was to just talk about verse 20. But when I read the text, I realized that we would miss so much if we didn't examine what happened before. But here it is. Now verse 20 is spoken after the recognition that they were so sick that they couldn't stand the thought of food. You know, that's one of the indications that somebody is not feeling good, is when they can't even stand the thought or the smell of food. And if you go so long without eating, you die. That's the condition that the children of Israel were in. And they called on the Lord. And look at what verse 20 says. Verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Listen, in the middle of all of this chaos, rebellion, destruction, trouble, and suffering. In the midst of all of this, the Bible says they cried out unto the Lord. And then God heard their cry and did what? He sent his word and healed them. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. This verse speaks to the healing that takes place when God sends his word. Here is why it is so powerful. Here is why restoration is instant. Because when God speaks, whatever he has spoken happens instantaneously. There is no delay in God's word. God's word doesn't get held up. When he sends his word, and the Bible says he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destructions. In every case, in every situation, no matter what the condition is, the word of God heals. Let me say, healing literally means to restore to health or wholeness. It means to bring back into order. Hear what I'm saying. When you are sick in your body, that means there is something out of order in your body. That means there is something that is not functioning the way that it was created to function. And so when God speaks a word, I want you to hear this. When God speaks a word, it sets things back in order. Yes. When God opens up his mouth and he speaks, whatever is out of order has to get back in order. Lord have mercy. Israel cried unto the Lord because their world was out of order. They have walked away from God. Now they are experiencing the consequences of knowing to do good but choosing to do evil. And in response to that, the Bible says God sent his word. Lord have mercy. Now I have this vision in my mind that God's word works for him. The Bible says that his word will not return to him void or empty, but it will accomplish whatever it was sent out to perform. Here is the good news, that when God speaks, his word performs whatever he has set it out to perform. His word does the work. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. And then God spoke and he said, and all of the chaos that existed in the universe get back in order. Now, if he can send a word to bring peace and calm and structure to the universe that is vast and wild, how easy is it for him to send a word in your direction and bring peace and calm and order back into your life? I want you to know that we serve a God who with one word can change everything. Hallelujah to God. He doesn't need a dictionary. He doesn't need a thesaurus. All he has to do is say one word and everything will change. Things will be set back in order. And I don't know about you, but I need God to speak. I need him to send a word. Because when he speaks, things come back into order. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. How is it that it comes that way? Because when I hear the word of God, it sets an expectation that whatever God said will come to pass, because God is not a man that he shall lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. If he said it, he'll make it good. If he spoke it, he will do it. So he speaks to us and creates an expectation of what will happen. And so faith is stirred by the word of God. Faith is encouraged by the word of God. That's why we have to study God's word and hear God's word, because when we study his word, when we hear his word, it sets things back in order. Hallelujah to God. There is a word of healing. I'm almost finished here. There is a word of healing that has been released in this congregation the last couple of Sundays, and even this week, God is speaking to me about the healing that's taking place here at Fellowship Church. It's a healing, an emotional healing, a spiritual healing. It's a healing of the broken heart and the wounded spirit. It's the healing of weakness in your spirit, where you've been injured for so long, you've been carrying the burden for so long that you're too weak to continue it. And God has said, I am sending my word, hallelujah, to set your heart back in order, to set your spirit back in order, to put you back in the place where you are supposed to be. He's sending his word to heal us. And I want you to know that it doesn't matter what things are out of order in your life this morning. God is sending his word to put it back in order. But hear this, you have to do your part. You've got to know the word. You have to study the word. Every time you hear the word, something in you should be getting back in order. Come on, saints. Every time you hear the word, there's a thought process that was out of order that should be put back in order. Every time you hear the word, there's a point of view that is wrong and perverted that needs to be cleaned up and redirected. Every time you hear the word, something in you ought to change. And can I tell you, that's why the adversary doesn't want you to hear the word. That's why you have time to do everything else you want to do during the week except read the Bible. That's why you have time to do, you will get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go work out, but then say you don't have time to pray. Your schedule is too busy. I'm telling you, it is a trick of the adversary to keep you from hearing the word of God, because as long as you are out of order, then that gives him a window to manipulate and lie to you and control your life and the way that you are thinking and the way you are believing. But I don't know who this is for, but God has said, get your house in order. I have given you a word and you have rebelled against my word, and you're wondering why every other day you're hitting your head up against the wall. You cannot ever move forward, because God is saying you are out of order and you need my word to get back in order. I just got to give it to you the way he gives it to me. Here's the power that you have, and as you stand to your feet, the word of God heals. And so you know what? Doesn't matter how things got out of order, one word from the Lord will put things back in order. in order. Know the word. And you know what? Then you have to speak the word. Know it and speak it. He said, you've been redeemed, say so. You know the word, say so. Listen, you have to speak the word over your children. Stop saying what they are right now, but say what God said that they are. Yeah, because the words that you speak create the environment that children are raised in. The words that are spoken in the home forms the adult that gets presented in the word. Here's the good news. Listen, all of us as parents, we make mistakes. We get frustrated. Can nobody get on your nerve worse than your child? I'm a living witness. And sometimes you do things that you shouldn't do, and you say things you shouldn't say. Here's the good news, that if you start talking differently, if you speak the word of God, the word of God can heal whatever wound has been created by the former words. Hallelujah. The word of God can heal the offense. Can I talk to the married couples? The words that you speak to your spouse creates the health or the decay of your marriage. If your marriage is out of order, first place you got to look and see, what are you saying to your spouse? I know the marriage retreat is in September, but we need some healing before then. I don't want to have to work too hard that weekend. Listen, change the words that you speak. Set things back in order. Go to work tomorrow. And instead of saying what you were going to say, say what God says. Oh, yes. See? And say it, let me be clear. Say it to yourself. Can I hear you? Master your own soul. Oh, come on. Master your own mouth. Come on, somebody. I'm helping you. I'm going to help you keep your job. Say whatever you want to say in the car. But when you get in that office tomorrow morning, be nice. Bite your tongue. If you need a Band-Aid, bring some extra Band-Aids with you. Hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles. Change your environment by going through that place and speaking the word of God. Why? Because everything is subject to the word of God. I don't care what they did this week or what their plans is. Nobody can override the word of God. That's why it doesn't matter who's in charge. Because the only person who I really care about who is in charge, as long as I know that God is still on the throne, I know that if he sends a word, that changes everything. And you can't override his word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we're getting ready to pray. But it says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. In our bodies, when our bodies are sick, the body is able to, in many cases, heal itself. When that doesn't happen, then sometimes there are medications that we take to get our healing. Sometimes things are so bad that they say, no, medication is not going to work for this. You need surgery. So we can go inside of your body and fix whatever is out of order. This verse tells us that the word of God is so precise that when nothing else works, the Word of God will go on the inside. It's an inside job. And there's no such thing as being inoperable with the Word of God. Why? Because the Bible says the Word of God is so sharp and quick, powerful, more powerful than the two-edged swords. And it goes down later on in that verse where it says the Bible, the Word of God is able to separate soul and spirit. Theologians spend years trying to figure out the difference between our soul and our spirit. And anything we say, it's a guess. Even though the experts think they know. But the Word of God is so precise that it knows exactly where to go. And even if there is some confusion, you know, sometimes surgeons go in and they cut the wrong area. Oh, heavens. That doesn't happen with the Word of God. The Word of God goes right to that spot. And it doesn't matter how sensitive and critical. I mean, I had one doctor wanted to do something on me, and she was like, well, it's a 50% chance that this will work and 50% chance that the left side of you will be paralyzed. I said, no, thank you, ma'am. I'm not going to give you, nope. I need somebody who can go right to the spot. Hallelujah to God. And deal with what needs to be dealt with without injuring the surrounding tissue. Hallelujah to God. That's what the Word of God is. It's so powerful that no matter how sensitive or complicated your issue is, it will go right to the spot. Deal with what needs to be dealt with without injuring the sensitive areas around it. Hallelujah. God doesn't make a mistake. When He sends a word, it's a very specific word. That's the word that He's sending to us today. Last point, and here's where your part is. Before any surgeon can do any procedure on you, you must fill out a consent form. That form gives him or her permission to cut you open and to perform surgery on you. And no matter how good that surgeon is, no matter how likely you are to recover from the procedure, he will not perform surgery on you without consent. You'll get it on your way home. God's word is powerful and quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. And if he performs his word on you, it will heal you in places you didn't know you were hurting, but he will not do it without your consent. Come on. He's not going to force you to be healed. He's not going to force you to be delivered. If you want to be healed and delivered, you have to give him consent. How do you give him consent? You lift up your hands and you surrender and you say, God, whatever you want to do with me, I give you consent to do it with me. And not just today, not just during this altar call, but every day you lift up your hands and say, God, I give you full consent to do what you want to do in my mind, in my spirit, in my body. I give my full consent to do whatever you want to do in my life. And he promises that he will send his word and it will heal. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for your word today. We thank you for your faithfulness to your people. We thank you, Lord, that we recognize today that no matter the cause of the trouble that we are in today, whatever the complication that we are facing today, whether we did it to ourselves or it was done unto us, God, we thank you today that we know that when we turn to you in our time of trouble, you will hear us. God, we admit that there's some in this room right now who have walked away from you. Here a little, there a little, still going through the motions, but they are not as secure in their relationship with you as they used to be. They've been out of fellowship. They've been disconnected. But God, I thank you that at this very moment, as they turn their hearts and their minds to you, you are restoring them to full fellowship with you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for restoration, God. We thank you, Lord, that your word is able to heal. Hallelujah. We thank you that just like with the children of Israel, you sent your word and healed them. We thank you now, God, that you have sent the word to Fellowship Church and it is healing us. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, that we are being healed by the power of your word. Hallelujah. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you make no mistakes, but you do everything right. Heal now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, finally, that we will obey verse number 2 that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom you have redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. We thank you, Lord, because you have redeemed us. You fought our battles. You gave us the victory, God. We have been delivered from every hand of the enemy. Every adversary is defeated in the name of Jesus. And so we make this commitment to say so. Every chance we get, every opportunity we have, we will speak of what you have done for us and where you have brought us from in the name of Jesus, God. We will not be silent while the word is spreading the bad news. We are going to spread the good news. Hallelujah. That you're still a healer, still a savior, still a deliverer. Now, God, as we lift our hands, we give full consent for you to have your way with us. We give full consent to go into every area of our mind and our spirits and our hearts. Use your word like a skillful surgeon. Take out anything that's not like you. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, take out every thought, every opinion, every way in us that's not like you. If it's not supposed to be there, we give you full consent to take it out in the name of Jesus Christ. Heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. Save us, and we shall be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just for a few seconds here, those who believe you're being healed now, just say so. Open up your mouth and say something to him. He's a great physician. There's nothing too hard for him. I even felt my strength today. As I was standing here, I felt his touch. There's a healing in the room today. You've been hurting long enough, my sister. God's sending the word to you to heal that pain. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, he's doing it today. Wherever you hurt, God is healing you. If you need physical healing, we believe God for physical healing today. If you need emotional healing, your relationships that need heal, I'm speaking healing in relationships in this house today. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God.